Turn again tonight to the third chapter of Mark's Gospel. Read verses 13 through 19. Mark 3, 13 through 19. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Barsenes, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, the son of the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And they went into a house. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Here we find Jesus coming to an important moment in life and work. As he'd gone throughout Galilee, he had made quite an impact. And he'd raised not only a following, but a real opposition among the religious leaders. If he's going to make his message permanent, then he must find a way before his opposition silences his voice. He could have done several things, perhaps, you know. He could have even wrote a book outlining the principles of the Christian life as he thought they ought to be lived, but he didn't do anything like that. Instead, he chose 12 men on whose hearts and lives he could write his message, and who would go out to carry his message to others. And I want us to notice several things from this passage tonight. And the first is that Christianity begins with a group. He chose 12 that they might be with him. The Bible knows absolutely nothing of a solitary Christianity. We come in our day to believe that all that really matters is my personal relationship to Jesus Christ. And while that's very important, the Bible knows nothing of a solitary Christianity. We need each other. We need the church. And while I never bought into it the way they used to express it, the Roman Catholic Church used to say there's no salvation outside of the church, I have come to believe that basically that statement is true, that there is no salvation outside of the whole Church of Jesus Christ. We don't come to faith without the church. We don't remain in the faith in any degree without the church. The Christian faith is something which has to be discovered and lived out in a fellowship. We need each other. The whole essence of Christianity is that it binds us to each other in a common loyalty to Christ and a concern for one another. Say it again. The whole essence of Christianity is that it binds us to each other in a common loyalty to Christ and a concern for one another. Note also that Christianity did not only begin with a group, but it began with a very mixed group. Matthew was a tax collector, therefore an outcast. He'd sold out to the Roman conquerors. He was looked upon as a renegade, a traitor to his fellow countrymen. They thought so little of the publican, the tax collector, that they would not accept his offerings to give to the poor, nor was his testimony accepted in a court of law. Outcast, of no account. Sold out to the enemy. Also among the 12 was Simon the Canaanite, a zealot. The zealot was a band of violent nationalists who were pledged even murder and assassination to clear their country of the foreign invaders. Thus the man who sold out and joined Rome and the man who was determined to destroy Rome were together in the 12. It's amazing. two people of such diverse backgrounds and beliefs could be brought together. Paul emphasized the oneness that we can know in Christ when he said, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female, neither slave nor free, but we are all one in Christ. Christianity has always insisted that the most diverse people could live together when they were all living for Jesus, living and loving Him. And I truly believe this is our only hope for any sense of peace in this world. Not only, though, did the Christianity begin as a group and a very diverse group, we look at the qualifications for the 12. And you see them and you look at them and they apparently had no special qualifications at all, if you judge by worldly standards. They did not have any special position, a place, a prestige in society. They were really not wealthy or learned men. In fact, most of them were looked upon as ignorant and unlearned. And if you had to pick out the wealthiest and the most learned, it would probably be that man called Matthew. He'd gotten his money by dishonest means as a tax collector, but he was probably pretty well off financially. And he perhaps had the best education of the 12, for to keep the records, he had to have some degree of skills. And someone has suggested that when he left all to follow Jesus, he took his pen with him and later penned the Gospel of Matthew. Be that as it may, he was probably the best educated, the wealthiest of the 12. From outward appearance, they were 12 very ordinary men. They really had only two qualifications. First, they believed something about Jesus that made them desire His call to leave all that they had to follow Him. They believed something about Jesus that made them want to follow Him. They were willing to leave their jobs, their homes, their families, their total way of life, to be whatever Jesus wanted them to be and to go wherever He wanted them to go. At this point, at least, they had no reservations in their commitment. Later on, you know, they fled. They left Him. But now, they believed and they wanted to follow. And you and I are that way, aren't we? We decide to follow Jesus and there's no turning back. If nobody goes with us, still we'll follow. Wherever He leads, we'll go. That's what we sing. That's what we say. I know in reality that many times we have parentheses in our prayers. Or at least I have. Lord, I'll go wherever You want me to go. I'll do whatever You want me to do. But Lord, don't ask me to do that. I'm sure I've shared this with you before, but it stands out in my thinking. When I became a minister in the conference, I basically took a vow to go wherever I was sent. No questions asked. And I was ready to go. But as the years went by, there developed a parenthesis in my prayers. Lord, I'll go wherever You want me to go, but please, Lord, don't send me to Birmingham. I'll go anywhere You want me to go, Lord, but don't send me to Birmingham. We spent 8 years, 8 wonderful years at Lakewood Church in Huntsville. And the time came when I thought perhaps it was time for me to move on and be best for me and the church both. And I talked to the district superintendent about this, and he began to lift up possibility of places that I might go. And every one of them was in Birmingham. I said, nope. Don't want to go there. I'll just stay where I am. Go anywhere, Lord, but don't send me to Birmingham. Later, the superintendent said, how would you like to go to Fort Payne? I jumped at the opportunity. That seemed just like the place I'd want to go. You know, I said, that's good. Then he called later and said it wasn't going to work. Then he called the middle of May and said, you're going to Fort Payne. Our daughter was still living at home. We had to find an apartment for her, pack up her stuff, pack up our stuff. She was sort of prophetic, I think. She was helping us pack, and on some of the boxes that we packed for us, instead of putting Mom and Daddy on them, she put Fort Payne, and she spelled it P-A-I-N. Now, Fort Payne is a lovely town and some wonderful people and a good church. And Winniedale loved living there as much as any place we ever lived. But for some ways, it was the most painful experience that I ever went through. We stayed there 4 years. And at the end of those 4 years, the only time I ever met with the bishop to talk about appointments, he said, well, I don't know where you're going, but there's several places you can go. And I didn't say anything about any of them. I didn't say, don't send me to Birmingham. I didn't say anything like that. I was ready to go. And we went to St. Mark Church in Birmingham, basically. And we had 8 of the best years I've ever had in my life. And I was reminded again that God knew more about where I needed to be than I did. And I shouldn't have parentheses in my prayers. And you shouldn't have. Wherever you want me to go, Lord, I'm ready. Whatever you want me to be, whatever you want me to do. The disciples were this way, at least in the beginning. They were men, you can't doubt it, they were men of courage. Jesus had already had clashes with the leaders of his day. He'd been labeled a heretic and a sinner. And yet they left everything to follow him. I mean, that takes some kind of courage. Say what you will about them, they loved Jesus and they were not afraid to place their lives into his hands. Can we say that about us? Love him, not afraid to place our lives in his hands. No matter what talents we have, we are of no use to Jesus unless we love him and are willing to give everything to him. No matter what talents we have, we're no use to Jesus unless we love him and are willing to give everything to him. And no matter how little we have, he can use it if we freely give ourselves in love to him. Well, Christianity began as a group. The disciples were qualified in that they believed and they loved and they were men of courage. You say, well, why did Jesus call them to follow him? Why did he call them? Mark has it right. First, he said they called them to be with him. He called them to be with him. He called them to be his steady and consistent companions. Others might come and go as many others did. Others might be there one day and gone the next. Others might be fluctuating and spasmodic in their attachment to Jesus. Jesus one time looked at the disciples and said, will you also go away? Everybody else is leaving. Will you go away too? And that was Peter said, Lord, where would we go? You have the words of life. These 12 were to identify their lives with his life. They would live with him for this period of time, all the time. They were to live with him to catch his spirit, to share his trust in the Father and his passion for people lost and apart from God. They were to be with him, this first. Before any other activity, they needed to be with him. And we note in the book of Acts, when some of the disciples were arrested, the authorities took knowledge of the fact that they had been with Jesus. They had spent time with him. And I would say tonight, we need so desperately to spend time with Jesus. And the amount of good that we bring to any situation depends on how much we have been with him. How much we can give depends on how freely we have received from Him. But He not only called them to be with Him, He called them to send them out. He wanted them to be His representatives. He wanted them to tell others about Him. They themselves have been won in order to win others. And Jesus says to you and to me, come unto me. But He follows this with the command to go into all the world. We have to come to Him, to be with Him, to be saved, but then go out to serve. We tell others where we have found life. We are sent out to tell the world that the Word was made flesh and has dwelt among us and has left us a new commandment, that we love one another as He loved us. Finally, Jesus didn't just send these disciples out, but He equipped them for their work by giving them power. Because they stayed with Him, their lives had something of His power in them. And later, after the resurrection and just before the ascension, He instructed those believers to tarry in Jerusalem until you have received power, He said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then you'll be my witnesses. Now, these were people that were Easter people. They were people who believed in the resurrection. They were people who had come to have a confident assurance that God had raised Jesus from the dead and He was there with them. But they didn't go out and tell anybody about this. They did what He told them to do. They waited in Jerusalem 10 days. 10 days in prayer, 10 days in preparation, until the Holy Spirit came, and then empowered, they started out to tell the world about Jesus. And on that first Pentecost Sunday, 3,000 were added to the church. Always, always Jesus provides power for the task that it needed to be performed. We can always be sure that Jesus will provide the power and the resources that we need for any task that He gives if we spend time with Him, if we wait before Him in prayer until the Spirit comes into our lives. We fail when we try in our own strength to do the task that He's given. We fail when we run before Him and try to do things in our own strength. He gives us the power. And without Him, we're sure to fail. Jesus chose the 12. And we're reminded that Christianity began with a group, 12 very diverse, ordinary people. It began with a group of people who truly believed in Him and loved Him and wanted to follow Him. It began with a group that He chose to be with Him and then to go out to tell the story to us. It began with a group that He empowered for the task to which He called them. You and I are called to be a part of that great cloud of witnesses. If we love Him and are committed to following Him, if we wait with Him until we are empowered, then we too can go out and in victory tell the world about Jesus. Lord Jesus, we do thank You that You call us to be Your disciples. Help us to be faithful. Help us in all things to follow You. Oh Lord, help us to be totally committed, to not have parentheses in our prayers, but truly mean it when we say, where He leads me, I'll follow. And it's in Your blessed name that we pray. Amen.